Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey dear listeners, you're listening to Israel On My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories here on Israel News Talk Radio. G'day Ross.
Hello Giono, how are you?
Doing pretty well, and I will tell you that I was greatly amused this week. A article in the Daily Wire reports, it's entitled, God is Great, Hamas Leader Accidentally Shoots Himself, Now in Critical Condition. Did you hear about this?
I saw that, and I thought, wow, how tragic. But again, this guy's a really bad guy, though, isn't he? What was he doing, like in the cartoons where he was looking at it, looking down the barrel, or what?
No, I was hoping like he literally shot himself in the foot, because, I mean, Hamas do that all the time, but, you know, metaphorically. But according to the spokesman for the terrorist organization Hamas, Imad al-Almi, the man who was arrested in 1991 by Israel for orchestrating terror activities for Hamas, is in a critical condition after he accidentally shot himself in the head. He accidentally shoots himself in the head. He was inspecting his weapon, right, last Tuesday when it fired, according to Barhum, the spokesman for the Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry, said that al-Alami is being treated at the intensive care unit in Gaza's Shifra Hospital, according to the Times of Israel.
I don't know if I believe this story, though, Jono. I'm telling you, it sounds like fake news. I'm wondering if they should have checked his hand for residue, because this guy, a few years ago, didn't somebody like throw him off a building and break his legs? I mean, there's a lot of a lot of hatred between these groups, so maybe they're saying that I don't know, he was cleaning his gun, it went off, and I'm not sure that's what really happened there, Jono.
Well, all I'm saying is this is what has been reported, and
I just find it suspicious. I just find it really suspicious, but it's not like I want to investigate it. You know, I mean, however it happened, you know, he is a bad guy. He's alive. I mean, he's not dead, though.
No. I mean, how does one accidentally shoot themselves in the... Well, I mean, look, may more suspicious events happen to Hamas. Let's just put it that way.
Well, you know, they shoot rockets aiming for Israel and they land on their own property. So this might be kind of the same thing, you know? Obviously. It's all about aim.
It's about aim. That's right. They don't seem to be able to get that right. And let's hope that that continues. That's all I'm saying. We've got so much more in this program coming right up after these messages. Don't go away.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to your listeners. You're listening to Israel On My Mind with Jono Van Dore and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. G'day, Ross.
Hello, Jono.
What's the news, my friend?
Well, first of all, I'm getting some snow here.
That's weird.
It is weird.
So you're in Louisiana, and when I think
and
of...
we don't get snow.
I mean, I don't know that much about the states and the geography and all that sort of stuff. It's just, you know, topography of various places. But when I think of Louisiana, I think of the Mississippi, and I don't think of snow.
We don't either. And so I came up here to do the show, and I might be stuck at my building all night. So that's okay. We've got plenty to do up here, plenty of books to read, and look, I wanted to, speaking of stuff to do, I've got an excellent project for our listeners.
Now you do, but before you talk about the project, because the project that you're about to talk about is an example of the kind of dedicated person that you are, but so is the very fact that you go to your studio to record on an evening when it's snowing in Louisiana, of all places, So much so that you're probably going to have to stay there the night.
That is dedication, isn't it?
It's dedication. It's dedication to the program. I mean, I know you've got some coffee there and you've got the kettle. You've probably got some biscuits and whatnot. You'll survive the night, won't you?
I think I'll make it through the night. And like I said, I've got plenty of books to read. There's a comfortable couch I can sleep on. My wife is safe at the house and the dogs are good. I mean, okay. It was a snowstorm. It just came out of nowhere. I call it a storm. A couple of inches, but it's enough to lock me down, I think.
It's locking you down. So now tell me more about the dedicated Ross Nichols that you are. What's going on? I know you were talking about the UN before.
I have got a wonderful project for our listeners, a way that they can get involved and engaged in a very fantastic advocacy program for Israel. So do you remember in March of last year, I went with a delegation from my organization, United Israel, to the United Nations General Assembly Hall. You remember that trip?
I do remember that because I do believe we spoke about David Horowitz. He has quite a history there, the founder of United Israel, of which you are the vice president. He has quite a history of involvement in United Israel. And so there you were.
And we know, you and I know, and all of our listeners know, that the United Nations is not a place that's generally thought of as having anything positive to do with Israel. Mm. March of last year, we went, and it was the second year. It's an event called Ambassadors Against BDS. And what this is, Jono, they open up the doors. We drew in a couple of thousand people, and everyone from all over the states, for sure. I guess there were people from other countries, but for sure around the United States. A lot of college kids, and then, you know, some older people like me who just love Israel. So we went, and their whole purpose was to equip people to counter this negative impression of Israel that's put forward by all the haters on social media and so forth. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that they introduced us to, it just sort of set in my queue. I really didn't do anything with it. And I pulled it up the other day. It's called ACTIL, ACTIL. Mm-hmm. And we're going to post this on our Israel on My Mind Facebook page so that people can join in. But so here's what this is. It's a joint venture that's put together by the Israeli American Council and what's called the Interdisciplinary Center, the IDC. They formulated this situation room during Operation Pillar of Defense in 2012 and then in Protective Edge in 2014. Now, the whole purpose of this, as I said, is to combat this very, very negative appraisal of Israel that's put forward in the social media. One thing about our enemies is that they are very, very good and effective at propaganda. Mm-hmm. So what this group does, they have a special team that just looks all over the social media, and when they find something positive about Israel, like a really good video that promotes a positive image of Israel, or something from the tourist industry, anything, they put this out and they do it without label. In other words, it's not branded, so anybody can feel comfortable to use it because it's only advocating Israel. Now, so let me tell you a couple of examples. Whenever some of these hate groups post a very negative, inciting violence against Israel, either a YouTube video, a Facebook post, a Twitter feed, or something, they'll assign a mission in your queue. So you log into your account, and it says you have 20 missions or whatever the case is. When you click on it, it brings you, for instance, straight to a Facebook post. If it's a negative inciting violence, you can report it, and you get points for this. Now, are you ready for this? I'm ranked now, number 31 on their site for Israel activist for the month of January. How about that?
Just for that reason alone, I am going to go and register in competition with you to see if I can outrank you as an Israel advocate leader.
That's what I want. And see if we get other people to do that, because I'm very competitive. And so if I see you climbing up the ranks, I'm going to fight harder. And that's the whole goal, is to get many, many people involved in this trying to paint Israel in a much more positive light. And we know we need it. So just to give you a couple of other things about this, the original content, creation of campaigns, now reach millions of people around the world. Mm-hmm. So they'll post this up and everybody gets involved. So if you get involved and all of our listeners sign up and get an account, the beautiful thing is you download the app for your smartphone and people can be in public transportation. They can be, you know, on a break at work. We don't encourage you doing this when you're on the clock. You know, if somebody's at lunch or whatever, you can sign in and take care of a couple of these things and paint Israel in a positive light. ACT, A-C-T-I-L. They provide training as well. So that's really, really a fantastic deal.
I am going to sign up. I saw that you shared this on our Israel on My Mind Facebook page, A-C-T-I-L. Now, while we're talking about such things, I recently, on my website, truthtoyou.org, truth2u.org, for the first time this year, released a new program with Ari Fuld. Now, Ari Fuld is a fellow Israel News Talk Radio host of a program.
G'day, Ari, called
Bulletproof. Now, that's the name of his program on Israel News Talk Radio. It's an excellent program. Highly recommend people also tune into that program, as well as ours, as well as the many other excellent programs on Israel News Talk Radio. But Ari was here when I left you in Israel, when you dropped me off to the airport, and I came back, lo and behold, to find that Ari was in Melbourne. And so I went to his gig, and he was talking about Standing Together. It's an organization to support the IDF. The website is S Together, S for standing, stogether.org. Right. You can also get there by going 247idf.org. That'll take you there as well. Fighting for Israel on all fronts, supporting those who protect Israel.
I like it.
He came on to talk about, we did a program, we spoke for almost an hour, and he clarified, as is often the confusion with many who aren't that familiar with the situation in Israel, what is the historic use of the term Palestine, and how is that confused with today's use of the term Palestinians in referring to?
Right.
And because this is often confused, people think it's one and the same thing, and they don't understand the history. Ari does an excellent job of clarifying the history and summarizing, and then he talks about how we can become effective supporters of the IDF. He does a very good job at that. And so I would encourage people to listen to that program. We shared that also on our Israel on My Mind Facebook page, and you'll also find it at truthtoyou.org.
Now, you said that Ari is coming to the States. Is that correct?
Now, he is coming to the States. Thus far, he is speaking in California. Now, he's going to be there in February between the 1st and the 14th. He's got a gig in California. He's got Florida. Texas is pending. New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. He still has some days open. He would love to visit some university campuses or host a parlor meeting or organize a Standing Together IDF support event in your area, dear listeners. So if you would like to get him in your area, he does have some time available and may be possible. So if you would like to volunteer in any way or have Ari speak at an event, if you'd like to see if you can fit that into his itinerary, his email is Ari, A-R-I, at stogether.org. Ari at stogether.org, and I'm sure he'd be very happy to hear from you and see if he can fit that into his itinerary.
I love it. I love the IDF. I know William does as well. He has like every IDF t-shirt or sweatshirt available.
He does. And actually, there's a photo of Ari, William, and myself on this particular post on Truth to You, and he is wearing his Israel Defense Force jumper, or as you would say, a sweater.
Yeah, one thing before we go into break, speaking of IDF and supporting Israel, have you ever thought about volunteering to go to this program called SAR-L in Israel, where you report for duty, they put you on a military post, and you get to wear a uniform, and you get to basically work on a military post in Israel as a volunteer. Have you ever heard of this?
I've never heard of this.
I really think that I might want to do that one time as a volunteer.
I can see you doing that.
I would love it. I would love it. Now, they'd probably put me on kitchen duty, but I tell you, it's not something that I hadn't done before.
No, but this is something I can definitely see, and particularly you as ex-military, I can see you doing this.
I love it. I love it. Hey, let's go to a break and come back and go through a bunch of more good stories. How about that?
That's exactly what we're going to be doing. We'll be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
There was a time you didn't worry about terrorism. It was something that happened in a faraway place or to someone else. But now you want to know. Now you want to understand. Now you're afraid that you might be in the danger zone. You need to listen to Gadi Edelman on The Danger Zone every week, where you will find out the truth about what is going on in the world around you. Gadi Edelman on The Danger Zone, right here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to Israel on My Mind with Jonah Vandor and Ross Nichols on Israel News Talk Radio. Ross.
Hey, Jonah, look, we started off, we talked a little bit about getting involved in this activism against BDS and the UN and so forth. Remember when the president of the U.S. And Nikki Haley.
Hey, by the way, before you continue, can I just ask you a quick question? Because I know, you know, there was some sort of awards recently. Was it, what were the awards? And all the women decided to wear a black dress.
The Golden Globe, I think it's called.
That was Golden Globe. And then apparently Oprah got up and gave an incredible speech and so on and so forth. And then afterwards, there's a whole lot of hearsay about her possibly running for the presidency. And there was a lot of, you know, to and fro back on Facebook, some for, some against, some of it very amusing. But then after that, I noticed that there was a little bit of hearsay in regards to Nikki Haley possibly putting her hand up for the presidency as America's first female president.
I saw something just come across just in mentioning about that, and I thought, you know what? Now she would probably pull a big base, but the problem is in American politics, she would probably be in the same conservative party, so there would, you know, it'd be a battle for that particular seat, and it might. Whereas most people would assume that Oprah, she's incredibly popular and she's got a really, really strong following. She would probably be more of a candidate on the Democratic side. Mm. So in other words, if Nikki ran, it might create sort of a split down the middle on the conservative side. So I think it might be a while before we see Nikki, but who knows? I love Nikki. I'd like to see her
run. I think she's absolutely fabulous. But you were saying
about the U.S. and Ambassador Haley, you know, this administration, regardless of what people think about, I mean, we've got our problems in American politics, obviously. But one of the things that came from this administration is a very strong stand for Israel at the UN, as we've noted on several of our recent shows. And so there was talk that the U.S. would begin to withhold some funding from the UN. And that already kicked off a few weeks ago. So just this week, the United States had came out suggesting or saying that we'll be withholding $65 million from the UN Relief and Works Agency for the Palestinian refugees. Now, the U.S. currently puts forward about 30% is what I've read, 30% of the budget at the UN. Mm-hmm. So they came out really swinging hard and said, we're going to give $60 million. Now, the U.S. did give $60 million to this organization, primarily to keep it going. So if they wouldn't have given the $60 million, from what I understand, it would have just crashed and burned. But they gave the money, you know, because at least on the surface, it's supposed to do some good. But they withheld this $65 million and said, look, others are going to have to step up and contribute. So they're not. See, that's one of the things that the U.S. administration has been saying.
So
that's a big chunk of money.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I totally understand it. I don't understand why someone would, why one country would pay another country that isn't willing to play ball. Why one country would send aid to another country that isn't willing to cooperate? Why? I just don't understand why that
well,
is expected.
Well, and that's exactly right. And that's one of the points that this administration has made. It's like, look, we donate X number of dollars every year, and not only are we slapped in the face, but there's no respect return. There's no reciprocation of respect.
Yeah.
And then additionally, right now, the Palestinian Authority is saying, we're not going to go to the peace table. So if you're not going to go to, like you, like they were anyway, right? So,
but assuming this is, so what do you think about this? Will. I mean, so let's just say, you know, for the sake of argument, that the funds that are sent are entirely spent on humanitarian endeavors. That's
and not building underground tunnels,
Tunnels and so forth.
Right?
And, I mean, it's obviously disputable, but humanitarian efforts, if one contributes an enormous amount of money for humanitarian distribution, and it's received by a country that has absolutely no respect for those who gave it,
mm-hmm.
is it still the moral thing to do? Is the moral thing to do to still give it and go, we know you hate us and you still hate us, but here's a whole lot of money and we wish you well? Or does common sense prevail and they say, you know, you hate us, you declare us your enemies, you're not
willing to, the big Satan.
You declare us your enemies, you're not willing to play ball, you're not willing to cooperate in any way, you have no respect for us whatsoever, we're going to invest our goodwill elsewhere. Is that not the more reasonable approach?
Well, it makes sense to me. It makes sense to you. I mean, who else really matters? And then additionally, even if you could look past all of that, the other big problem is that there's no real accountability for the funds. So we just don't know where the money's going. So, I mean, anyone who is wanting any country, even an individual who wants to put their money towards something, you want to know and be able to see, but there's no transparency. So if there's no transparency, we don't know where the money's going. And it just so happens that the amount of money that the U.S. sends to the Palestinian Authority on an annual basis is pretty damn close to the exact amount of money that the Palestinian Authority pays to families of terrorists.
Oh, man. Now, I'm glad you brought that up. I don't have that up in front of me, but I was reading it earlier this week. Blows my mind. What was it? Have you got that in front of you? Tell me what that figure was. It was, if I remember, it was something like 340-something million in a year? In a year?
That's right. And
where do they get that money if not from international?
From the U.S.
Yes! This is the U.S. and other countries that contribute. This is taxpayers' money going to fund terrorism, and it's not even a secret. I mean, the J-Post put out a very detailed breakdown of where this money was going and how it's distributed.
And look, Abbas, the leader, the current leader, he's on like his 12th year on a 4-year election run, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he says we're not going to stop paying the families of terrorists. To say that and then for some people to feel like sorry for him because we're withholding some funds, to me, now this is probably why I'm not in politics, but it might be why you and I or people like us should be, because the common sense should prevail. And we should say, look, we're not even going to talk about peace until you make some remedy. So, for instance, like when they get on, if you read their charters for the Palestinian Authority and so forth, clearly indicated in their charter, they call for the elimination of Israel, right? I mean, he tries to play on every angle he can. You know, he appeals to the Christians, you know, pushing this idea that even Jesus was a Palestinian refugee. You know, it's like, come on, you're just pulling out anything you can. The tragedy is that so many of these groups, evangelical groups, are buying into this and siding against Israel, and it's really, really pathetic.
And it is pathetic, but it's an interesting thing. And actually, Ari and I talked about this because it's difficult to determine you know, sometimes it's not so difficult, but on a mass scale, is it just ignorance or is it anti-Semitism? Because it's got to be one of those two.
Well, I think it's probably a little of both, but I think the anti-Semitism in many, many times is probably fueled by ignorance because people simply don't know. We talked about act I ill. And one of the things that they're doing is the counter to counter the propaganda. The propaganda machine is very, very strong, and they do such an effective job that this false narrative is bought by the mass of people. Mm. I mean, it's you know, it's that old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. Yeah. And so all of these groups that are saying this false narrative, you repeat a lie, you make a lie so big and so unbelievable that people believe it. And that's what they've done. But I do believe, though, that if we have enough advocates and enough strong voices out there who are communicating the truth, that in the end, the truth will prevail. And that's what we have to do, you know, by pushing a positive image of Israel and right. giving happy and humorous news stories. That's about it. Israel.
Now, this is a good news. We got to get off the politics and the bad news because speaking of spreading the good news, Bibi's over in India. And, you know, like, as I think he may have said or I heard someone say in the news recently, peace and cooperation isn't always a straight line. India did vote, you know, not in favor in the UN recently, not in favor of Israel. However...
Now, did they abstain? Do you remember? I don't think they voted against.
But okay. There is a lot of treaties being signed. There's a lot of signatures between Bibi and between Israel and India at the moment, and that seems to be going fairly well. And so we hope that India continues to become more of a friend of Israel, so much so that they really do get on side in the UN as well. But
yeah,
I think a lot of trade deals.
I saw that. 9 trade deals were signed. And, you know, no one has any doubt that Bibi and Modi are very, very close. Yeah. They really are. And they seem to have a great relationship and advancing both of these countries' best interests to work together for the mutual good of both countries. I think it's going to turn out to be a really, really good deal. But you know who couldn't go to India? Did you see?
Ah.
They did. They didn't let Yair go. They left him at
the house.
He's grounded,
right? He's grounded.
Well, somebody's got to walk the dog, Jonah. I mean, who's going to walk the dog? Now, what do you do about that?
That's it. So he's grounded. He didn't get to go to India. Not only does he have to walk the dog, but he's been told that he's got to pick up after the dog and no more strip clubs. So he's got to behave himself, and he really does, you know, over the next few months at least, just to let things blow over.
He needs to lay low for a little while. Yair needs to work on his public image.
He does.
Maybe he needs to hire you and I to help him.
The first
to
thing,
really,
yeah,
advance,
I was going
to
say,
his image.
The first thing he needs to do is grow a beard. That's my
absolutely.
Yeah, done.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Hey, let's go to a break and come back and talk about some upbeat things. How
All
about
right.
that?
On the break, I'm going to give him a call and tell him to grow a beard. We'll be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
Hi everyone, this is Andrea Simento from Jerusalem inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simento, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to Israel On My Mind with Jono Van Doren and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. Ross.
Hey, you a big movie guy? We've already talked about that. I'm the movie guy. You're not really a movie guy.
You know, I mean, no, I don't really watch TV, to be honest. But if there's a decent movie, and I catch up on most of my movies on the way to Israel and on the way back, you know, on the flights, you know, that's basically
true.
Where I catch up on a lot of my movies. But you brought to my attention that there's a new movie, now I like Steven Spielberg, I do,
Well, yeah.
And this, there's a movie called The Post. What's this about?
You know, I don't know a lot about the movie, but I happen to know Spielberg. No, I don't know Spielberg.
It says, now this is The Hollywood Reporter, and it says, this was reported last week, a source involved with the film's international rollout says the Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks drama was presented to the Lebanese censorship board, which censored it, citing a boycott Israel list. So what is it about? Oh, because of Steven Spielberg, because Spielberg is Jewish. Is that why? Oh, it okay, so the reason why they're scrapping it is not just because Spielberg is of course Jewish, but because of his Oscar-winning Holocaust film Schindler's List.
Oh, yeah. Well, the fact that he's Jewish is at the top of their scratch list. But yeah, if he's doing pro-Israel movies for certain, and especially when it's talking about the Holocaust, which some of these people deny ever happened.
So. Well, that's right. So as a Holocaust-denying country, Lebanon says, no, we can't. We're not having any Steven Spielberg, no films. We're not showing this. And so they've scratched it. There it is.
Man, I'll tell you what, this boycott Israel. See, this is why we're trying to advocate ways to fight against this. This is just stupid. But again, it has to do with Israel and this rule in Lebanon that anything that is pro-Israel or even mentions Israel just can't do it.
It's interesting, though, because to be honest, I probably wouldn't have known about this film except that it got banned in Lebanon. And now I'm going to seek it out and go and watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big deal. So Tom Hanks, Meryl Streep, and it can't be seen in Lebanon, so it might be worth checking out. Now, I did see, you know, Tom Hanks is a big opponent of the current administration. So he recently said in the news that if it shows at the White House that he will not go. So, you know, for whatever it's worth. But maybe we should check that movie out and report back to him. But let's, while we're talking about Lebanon, you know, Lebanon's back in the news for something else. Did you see that our friend Gal Gadot, good day, Gal.
Good Gal.
She caused this big storm
because
she saw this.
Okay, so the headline caught my eye. She caused some sort of kerfuffle by, it says, sporting a Lebanese designer's dress. Now, this is in Ynet News, and initially I thought, oh, surely, you know, Israelis wouldn't complain that much just because she's wearing an Israeli designer dress. Come on, really? I mean,
yep.
who would complain about that in Israel? But I got it all wrong. What happens was, it says, dress designed by Lebanese firm, worn by Wonder Woman actress Gal Gadot to National Board of Review Awards Gala, causes uproar. It was Lebanon that was up in arms about the fact that was wearing a Jewish woman, a famous, strong Jewish woman, ex-IDF Jewish woman, an actress that plays Wonder Woman that's so very, very popular, and they were furious that she was wearing a dress designed by a Lebanese designer.
Yeah, Eli Saab is the guy's name. I suppose it's a man. But he really did a good job on this dress, I might add. And Gal Gadot looks incredible in this nice Israeli blue. Did you notice that? Anything to do with it.
I wonder, because I only just noticed that it is a really nice Israeli blue. That's the color of the dress. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm looking at it now. It's really nice.
Yep.
It's simple, but it's really nice, and it is an Israeli blue, yeah.
That's probably part of it. I mean, like you said, anytime you have a strong woman, you have a strong Jewish woman, that makes it worse. You have a strong Jewish woman wearing an Israeli-colored dress. You gotta side with them now. I see where they're coming from. It's over the top. There's no way they could let this slide. Just couldn't let it slide.
They couldn't let it go. Lebanon scoring points all over the international community. Now, speaking of Jewish actresses and superheroes, this is great. This is one of my favorites. Scarlett Johansson. Oh, my goodness. She's so gorgeous.
Now, you like Scarlett, don't you?
I love Scarlett Johansson. I just think she's... I've seen so many Scarlett films. I think she's really cool. And I really admire her for her acting ability. So the...
yeah. I don't think I've seen any of her movies. I was familiar with her because of her work with SodaStream. A while back?
Yeah, she was the promoter of SodaStream. She did a really good job of that.
Mm-hmm.
Good on you, Scarlett. Okay, the headline, Move Over Girl, a new female Jewish superhero is coming. Scarlett Johansson, who has already appeared in multiple Marvel movies as Black Widow, will star in the character's first solo feature film. Looking forward to it.
I guess I'm going to have to go check this out, Jonah. You won't see it until we go to Israel in November.
That's true. But you've seen a whole bunch of Marvel films. I mean, surely you've seen her play this part.
I don't know if I've seen it or not. Iron Man 2.
Yeah, she's in there, isn't she? Known as
Captain America.
Natasha Romanoff. That's her the name of the Black Widow in these films. So I've seen a little bit of her playing that role. But now,
so is this new film? This is a new film that's coming out. Is that what they're talking about?
This is a new film that's dedicated to that particular. Because she's played this character, I understand, in a handful of Marvel comic films, but it's always as a supporting role. She's not the main actor in it. She's just one of many. This time, it's all about her, and this is a film that's dedicated to that particular character.
Yeah, in the Times of Israel, it says the character is much darker than Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman, but also happens to be played by a badass Jewish actress.
Yeah, she's so great. I like her.
I'll have to check that out. I'm going to put that on my list of things to see.
Done. All right. Now, speaking of strong women, things are out of control. Things are out of control in Saudi Arabia. What's going on there now?
They really are. You know, we've reported about how in Saudi Arabia, what have we talked about? We said that they could drive, right?
They can drive to the cinema, of all places, and go and see a movie there.
And they open the cinemas. But there's certain movies that they probably won't see, and I'm going to guess that one of them is the one we just talked about with Scarlett.
Right.
But guess what? Now, this is brand new. This is breaking news. As I understand it, it's a first ever. All right. Now, you know, the movie thing was good. You could go eat your popcorn and stuff but that was there in the 70s and 80s. That was sort of a comeback.
Yeah.
Now they can go to a soccer match.
That's great. That is great. I mean, or football, depending on where you are in the world. But soccer or football.
Right. That's
now,
right.
this is great. So they can drive there if they want. And they can. Now, the thing that blew my mind was that means to me that recently, up till now, they weren't allowed to go and watch a soccer match. But now they can. That's great. I mean, we're moving forward, right? Surely. I mean, there's still a few things.
We are.
We reported, was it last week, that Saudi Arabia wouldn't let Jewish or Israeli competitors compete in chess tournaments that were being held there. But, you know, there are some, they're starting to ease up just a little bit. And so the Saudi women have gone to watch a soccer match. Good on them.
That's right. I am proud, this quote says, and extremely happy for this development and for the kingdom's moves to catch up with civilized measures adopted by many countries. Because, you know, in most countries, it's not that big a deal to let women go to a soccer match. So, you know, like I said, they can drive now. So you could have your woman drive you to the game. It's really making some good progress.
They've clocked on to the designated driver. So what this probably means is we can now, us men can go and have a few beers. And I don't think they
let them drink.
Oh, that's true. So it's not all about the designated
driver. It's not about that.
Yeah. No. I'm confused. Well, in any case, as you say, they're catching up.
Who knows with this crown prince? Maybe
that's
know.
Next on the list. Maybe he's got a list and he's checking them off. And maybe soon they'll be able to have a beer at the soccer.
You got
to
eat.
Why do you go to a soccer match if you can't have a beer?
Maybe.
What's that
now
about?
Get this. Maybe they'll start selling Israeli whiskey at the Saudi soccer game.
I think we're aiming just a little bit too high.
Yeah, that'll probably be a few years. Hey, we're making progress. So, like you said, progress is progress.
That's right. So more of that. That's good. Good for them. What else have we got? I'll tell you something. Jamiroquai. Jamiroquai is coming to Israel. I'm a bit of a fan. I've always been a bit of a fan of Jamiroquai. You're not saying anything, which kind of means that...
No. I was impressed because I'll be honest. I did not know how to pronounce that name. So I evidently don't know of this artist.
So you saw this article and you thought, I'm not going to talk about this article because I don't know how to pronounce that. But Jamiroquai...
Jamiroquai
is going to perform on May the 2nd in Israel. Another BDS fail everyone that supports BDS can go and throw out their Jamiroquai albums. You can't have him anymore. Jamiroquai, always been a fan. Good on him.
I love it. Great band. Look, we've had several. We've had Ringo Starr. We've got several of these artists. So there are a lot of things in the news that say this BDS thing is failing. In fact, one other thing before we go to the break.
We're going home after this.
It's going to be a week-long break.
Okay.
All right, so there's a U.S. group called the Creative Community for Peace that's looking to prep visiting performance for BDS pressure. This pressure is so intense that there is an organization that's set up just to counter this negativity that these artists are receiving. So we need to get behind this. We need to read up on this organization. I'd like to see what they're doing.
Very good. All right, we are done for the week. Thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. We hope you'll join us again this time next week. Until then, have a great one.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio. Straight talk from Israel.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.